WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Monday morning, the first program of 2026. And just an extra story to add in for you there, one that we just put up at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, that being that there was, hold on one second here. Told you that it was published, but it's not published because I had to make a change, and now it's published. A story about a stabbing that occurred last night on Cherry Street in Fairhaven. Three people injured, including one critically injured, and the hunt for the suspect is underway. So you can read about that at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But we just got that up for you during the news break. And you also heard Mike Roberts mention in the news that nine candidates have come out for the vacant school committee seat in New Bedford, the seat that was vacated by the passing of longtime school committee member Bruce Oliveira. And I'm telling you, I was writing the story the other day about the nine candidates, which, by the way, you can click on any of their names in the story at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app and read their letter to the city with their intention of being the person to fill in, you know, and what their qualifications are. I tried to give a little overview of each candidate in the story, but you can read their complete submission letter by clicking on their name from the city's website. But this is a great list. I mean, so what's going to happen is the city council and the school committee will convene tomorrow night in the city council chambers. This is required by state law. And then they will hear from each one of these nine. They'll be able to make a little statement as to why they want to be the person. And the counselors and the school committee members will have read these letters. And then they'll discuss amongst themselves, and that joint committee will decide who will fill out the remainder of this term, which goes through 2027. But I can give you a rough outline of who the people are. And again, you can just read more about it at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app, or read more about each person. But Eldrick Abreu, who is a person who is raising their family here in New Bedford, lifelong New Bedford resident, graduate of New Bedford High, served for 2 years as the community outreach coordinator for WAIL, assisting with education, youth engagement, and community access through preservation projects, served as a community resilience ambassador with Kim Lundgren Associates on the NB Resilient Climate and Resilience Planning Process, worked as a resident researcher with the Healthy Neighborhood Study, serves on the Cape Verdean Recognition Committee and other organizations, got involved with local educations in 2019 through the New Bedford Coalition to Save Our Schools. Aaron Alvarado is a parent who has children who have attended a range of schools in New Bedford. She served as the vice president of the Parent Booster Club at Alma Del Mar for 4 years. And works as a 7D driver for a student in the Wareham District. Lee Blake, who you probably know best as the executive director of the New Bedford Historical Society, but who is also a retired educator who began her career at New Bedford High School and spent 30 years, over 30 years, as a teacher and educational program administrator, including 17 years as the director of Campus Compact Center for University School Partnerships at UMass Dartmouth, and spending 4 years as the executive director of the New York City Mayor's Office, Office of Education Services. Henry Bousquet, the former Ward 3 city councilor, who has 20 years of experience in public education as a career technical educator. Also, 10 years as an entrepreneur, chef, and owner. Marcus Coward, who just recently ran for a school committee and placed third in a three-person race for the two open seats. Works as a lead guide for Youth Opportunities Unlimited, working with New Bedford elementary, middle, and high school students. A member of the New Bedford Human Rights Commission, a deacon and Sunday school teacher. Eric Paul Dorman, who serves as the lead pastor of the Family Worship Center in Lakeville for the past 20 years and works full-time in the New Bedford District Court as a specialty court coordinator. Also a chaplain for the New Bedford Police Department, a member of the Community Crisis Intervention Team. Jose Galarza Jr., who has more than 20 years of experience in financial management, contracts, grants, procurement, and operational oversight at UMass Dartmouth. Also served at Bridgewater State University, managing the aviation and airport operations. Volunteers with my brother's keeper and is raising his children here in New Bedford. Former Ward 1 Counselor Brad Markey, who served as chair of the Finance Committee, working with members of the school committee and the school department to secure the location and financing for the central kitchen. Both of his parents, by the way, were educators in New Bedford Public Schools, with his father retiring as principal of Keith Middle School. And Cheryl Riveros, who spent 32 and a half years as a teacher in New Bedford Schools, including 30 years as a social studies and history teacher at New Bedford High, before she retired in June 2020. She's currently employed part-time for Bridgewater State University, training teacher candidates during their practicum and helping the Department of Secondary and Elementary Education determine eligibility for licensure. So you've got 9 great candidates there. And I think, you know, no matter who you choose, you can't go wrong. Some names are familiar, some you might not have heard before, but all seem to have a very vested interest in New Bedford Public Schools and wanting to see what's best for the students of New Bedford. So they'll have their chance to state their case tomorrow night in front of this group joint meeting of the city council and the school committee, where they will determine who will be the person to fill out the remainder of Bruce Oliveira's term. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Welcome back.
Thank you. How you doing?
Okay. Two things. First of all, you mentioned earlier about the snow situation. You know, the way things are going right now, this last couple of weeks with on and off snow, to be honest with you, I rather have one or two big snowstorms than this, because for somebody like me, it really becomes a nuisance. When I'm the one that has to clean everything, and no matter how small it is, and, you know, cleaning off the car, it's just like, you know, seems like it's like every other day or every 2 days, it's the same crap going on. And I know it's hard when it's a blizzard, but, you know, at least you get that stuff done like in 4 hours and you're done. It's not like this every 2 days, every 3 days, you know, the snow, even if it's just the coating. But it seems lately it hasn't been just the coating. We've been getting, you know, like a couple of inches. So,
yeah,
that's my opinion. The other thing is, I don't know a lot about how that whole school committee thing works. But my first question is, a couple of questions. First of all, do they get paid to sit on the school committees?
No.
Second, okay, they don't. Okay, the other thing is, You mentioned that there are city councilors that are also running for that vacant seat. Isn't that a conflict of interest?
Former city councilors.
Oh, it's a former, not actual city councilors.
Yes. So Henry Bousquet, who was formerly the Ward 3 councilor, and Brad Markey, who was formerly the Ward 1 councilor.
Oh, okay. I thought, because I've been hearing, I didn't hear the word former. I've been hearing city councilor. So I'm thinking to myself, isn't that like a conflict of interest that you're a city councilor and meanwhile you're on the school committee? And so they get this temporary position, they get voted in by both the city council and the school committee?
Yes. Yeah, so Massachusetts state law requires that the school committee and the city council convene together to determine who is going to be the person to fill that seat.
Oh, okay. All right. I think that's what kind of threw me off was the whole hearing city councilors, also going for the school committee. How is that even possible? Because it sounds like conflict of interest. And I didn't know whether or not they were paid. So it's like a volunteer. They're really volunteering their time to be on the school
committee. Right. They're not paid, but there has been, discussion in the past. People have suggested that they should receive, some kind of a stipend for the time that they put in on it, because they do a lot. I mean, it's not just the regular meetings. It's going to all the different school events and all of that. So I can understand why people wanted to see them get a stipend, but these people are not, running because I saw that comment from somebody online where they said, these people just want a paycheck. Well, there's no paycheck involved. In fact, it's probably going to cost them money, because a guy like Henry Bousquet, for example, he does a lot of different things and he's going to be giving up time that he could probably be making money to be doing things related to the school committee.
Right. Well, I mean, I get that, but, they're also, kind of out there. So they get their name out there and, that whole political thing. I mean, in a way, even though they don't get monetary, for that. But I mean, I'm sure they get it in other ways. But anyway, that was the only reason why I was calling. You have a good day, Tim.
You
glad
too.
You're back.
Okay. Take care.
Yep. Bye.
And just to, one other point, because I saw a lot of people making this point online, is a lot of them were saying, well, Marcus Coward just ran in the election and came in third, so he should just be given that seat. Because if there had been 3 seats open in November, he would have been given that seat. So he should just be handed that seat. And unfortunately, that's not the way that the law states that this determination is made. According to state law, they have to have people apply for the position. And then this joint committee, which, by the way, the mayor will be involved in because he is the chair ex officio of the school committee. So he is going to be the person who, is the leader of the school committee side of this. And I think with the list of people that you have there, there's going to be a lot of discussion, debate. There'll be certainly, city councilors who have worked with Henry Bousquet and Brad Markey and know them very well. They might be advocating for one of them to be the person. School committee members who might know, Lee Blake or Cheryl Viveros or people who have worked in the schools or Henry Bousquet, they might be saying we'd like to see this person be the one in charge of it. So be the person to get it, I should say. So, I mean, all of these names will certainly have their camps of people who are in support of them. So it'll be interesting to see how that turns out. Because again, it's not like this is, you're just filling in until the next election. This isn't, even you're going to be serving until this fall. This is through 2027. So they'll have an entire year to a year and a half to really show what they are all about before then they have to run again to keep that seat. Which, by the way, this is how Bruce Oliveira got his seat. Someone vacated their seat and he was one of the people that put in and was selected to fill in, to fill it out, fill out the term. So, again, that'll be tomorrow night, 6 p.m. in the city council chambers. Tonight, the new city council will meet. The new councilors will be sworn in. And the new council president will be selected. And then that council president will go about determining who's going to serve on which committees, who's going to chair which committees. So there's a lot happening now. You know, we had some slow time when it came to the local political scene with the holidays, as always happens, but things are heating up, and it all starts tonight. And we'll have the current council president on his final day in that role joining us in the 8 o'clock hour. We can discuss all of that and more. Plus, you know, get his thoughts on his year as the council president and your calls as well. Right now, I've got to get a break in, 508-996-0500. We'll take a break. We'll have the news coming up in a little bit. And today's edition of the Gen X Files brought to you by Just Another Phoenix in Dartmouth. But right now, let's take this quick break and be right back.
You're listening to the Tim Meisberg Show. Call 508-996-0500.
All right, let's see if we can get a couple of calls in here before I got to go to the news. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Oh, you good? Well, they finally got Maduro. That was good.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think they should have just did a surgical strike and waste our time on money on that guy. The guy's killed his own people. He's killed hundreds of thousands of Americans with cocaine, and now they've got to bring him back, spend taxpayer money on a trial. They should have just done a surgical strike and wasted them, save a few bucks.
Well, I think they'd be getting a lot more, pushback had they done that, as opposed to, you know, bringing him in and having him stand trial. So I think for optics, they had to keep him alive.
Probably. And they need to go after Colombia, Mexico, Portugal, Azores. Portugal Azores is it's a precursor for the fentanyl from China. They've been distributed all over Europe, Mexico. They're a big drug kingpin. How long are they going to keep killing Americans with cocaine and fentanyl, you know, before you take action? Trump took action, and all the liberal Democrats, they love their criminals. They're going to stand behind their criminals. You'll see Mondami the commie in New York. He loves his criminal Maduro, you know.
Well, I mean, to be fair, nobody's defending Maduro or his actions. They're having an issue with the way that this occurred. Those are two different things.
I mean, when you've got the deaths of many Americans, he let the Tren de Agua, those criminals come in. Barbarians kill our slaughter some of our civilians. Texas, words and paper doesn't seem to do it, and I guess the last three decades words and paper didn't seem to do much, and finally Trump took action. You had sleepy Joe Biden and his crackhead son in power and a shadow government just ruin this country, you know. And finally Trump's reversing what the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is just a lunatic fringe. It needs to be in the dictionary when you look on the Democrat. It should say.
But by the same account, the Republican Party is turning into a cult of personality.
Well, I mean, I used to like that woman. What was her name from Georgia? Margaret Taylor Greene.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of a little bit went off the wagon there. Used to like her. Rand Paul, he's a liberal nutcase. Massey, he's a little bit liberal Republican. He should be a Democrat.
So basically anybody that goes against Donald Trump now you don't like?
Not necessarily. I mean, some people, if I can listen to their opinions and make my own determinations, but generally I like what Trump says. I like what he does. He's funny.
Well, but what about Marjorie Taylor Greene is any different than what she's been saying for years, except she's no longer blindly supporting Donald Trump? Her values haven't changed any.
Well, I agree with her with the Epstein files as far as, you know, the women were victimized by Jeffrey Epstein and any protections by those rich billionaires. I totally agree with her on that, where they need to disclose that. But as far as Margaret Taylor Greene's foreign policy, she doesn't agree with Trump's foreign policy, America First. I think you need to take care of global risks that are going to affect U.S. risks. You just can't be, you know, you can't be an introvert country and then, you know, and then when risks happen, you react. You need to take action globally before it harms the U.S. people, as far as I'm concerned. You know, so I think a lot of this cocaine trafficking, I mean, it's gone on since, what, the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000? Words and paper didn't seem to do much. But I think you will with the sword and the rocket and the missile seems to get their attention, doesn't it?
All right. I'm just going to hold you there because I got some other calls to squeeze in, but thank you for the call.
All right, brother.
And let's see if we can get these ones in. But then I do have to go to the news in just a moment. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Billy.
How you doing?
Good. When you have Virgo on, can you do me a favor and ask him a question?
Sure.
Okay. Ask him, after they all vote and everything, who makes the final decision? Because the mayor picks the best candidate after they come with a few people who
for,
are...
For the school fight. For the school committee person, you mean?
Yes, to take Bruce's place. Does he make the final decision? Just ask him that question.
Okay, I will, but I don't think that he does. I think it has to be by what the committee votes for.
You think. That's what you just said. You think. You don't know. Well, ask the president that you're going to have.
Okay, you can call back and ask him too.
I'm
just saying it's okay if you want to call back and ask him to.
No, I know. I appreciate it. I know. But why talk to somebody that disrespects, I'm not a constituent, but he disrespects the constituents that he has. That's why he went to third. Pretty sure he'll be in the back of the pile. Like Linda and Naomi and Brian Gomes are going away. So just ask him the question. Who makes up the CF notes? Because I know that Barry Sylvia has called numerous times, and he knows none of the numbers that Barry had asked them. So just ask them, who makes the final decision? Do they pick them, or do they give it to the mayor, and the mayor picks them? See if he knows the answer.
Okay.
Because I know the answer. I just want to know if he knows it.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, I got to get the news in, and then we'll get the Gen X files on the other side of that, and then we can take some more calls. 508-996-0500. Take it away, Mike Roberts.
Venezuela's Maduro scheduled for court today. Heavy rains in Southern California, and the first Uvalde trial begins today.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The first trial connected to the police response in the mass shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, is set to start. Jury selection will begin today in the trial of former Uvalde school officer Adrian Gonzalez, accused of failing to engage the gunman after arriving at Robb Elementary School during the massacre in 2022. 19 children and 2 teachers were killed. He's facing 29 felony counts of abandoning or endangering a child. The trial was moved to Corpus Christi after Gonzalez's attorney filed for a change of venue, arguing he wouldn't be able to get a fair trial in Uvalde. President Trump reportedly threatening Venezuela's new leader in a phone interview with The Atlantic. Trump said, if Delcy Rodriguez doesn't do what's right, she is, quote, going to pay a very big price, probably bigger than Maduro. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro is set to make his first court appearance in New York today. Federal prosecutors are charging Maduro, his wife, and their adult son with drug trafficking. Rodriguez has served as the vice president of Venezuela since 2018. New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani continues to fill out his new administration with the naming of a Commissioner of Housing, Preservation, and Development.
Calling her a person you're glad to have on your side, Mamdani appointed Dina Levy, previously a senior New York State housing official, as City Housing Commissioner. Speaking at a Sunday morning news conference, Levy talked about the work ahead.
We will need to try new, innovative, and sometimes scary innovations, and we will need to embrace a willingness to rethink how we do business.
Also Sunday, Mamdani signed an executive order directing city agencies to hold hearings at which tenants can highlight landlord abuses. I'm Larry Kofsky.
Southern California getting slammed with more rainfall. Heavy rain reported across the region over the weekend, especially north of Los Angeles in the Santa Barbara area, where flights were grounded and roads were flooded. The National Weather Service says the stormy weather is expected to continue through tomorrow. The Wisconsin judge convicted of obstructing ICE agents who were trying to arrest a Mexican immigrant has resigned from her post. Former Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dukin announced her resignation on Saturday. Her felony conviction came after an incident last year where prosecutors accused her of helping an illegal immigrant evade federal agents. Dugan was acquitted of a misdemeanor charge of concealing a wanted person. Today will mark Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene's final day in office. She announced her resignation in November following a public fallout with President Trump. Once a staunch supporter of the president, Greene broke from Trump on issues like his handling of health care subsidies and the release of the Jeffrey Epstein files. On Saturday, she criticized the U.S.'s actions in Venezuela. Greene was first elected to serve as Georgia's 14th congressional district in 2020 and won re-election in 2022 and 2024. Stellantis is resurrecting a V8-powered Ram pickup truck called the TRX.
The $100,000 vehicle is being revived as the company faces fewer federal emissions regulations. It was first produced for the 2021 to 2024 model years, and now the 2027 Ram 1500 SRT TRX will be available in late 2026. Ram CEO Tim Kanuskis has been leading a turnaround plan since unretiring from the automaker a year ago. I'm Matt Mattinson.
Billy Joel still off the road indefinitely, but he gave some fans in Florida a big surprise on Friday. The Rock and Roll Hall of Famer performed two songs with a Billy Joel cover band called Turnstiles at an amphitheater in Wellington. Joel, who owns property in the city, walked on stage with the help of a cane before taking a seat at the piano. Together, Joel and Turnstiles played his hits We Didn't Start the Fire and Big Shot. Joel announced last May that he had to cancel all future concerts after being diagnosed with a brain disorder.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by John C. Law.
The Pats with a win over the Dolphins 38-10 yesterday. Patriots will host the number 7 seed Chargers in the AFC wild card round next weekend after Los Angeles fell to the number 1 seed Denver Broncos. Celtics will host the Bulls tonight at 7:30.
Now your WPRI 12 forecast, brought to you by the Ultimate Men's Clinic.
A cold and cloudy start to the day today, only up to the lower 30s this afternoon. Coating of light snow possible overnight tonight, 16 for your low. Cloudy tomorrow, 41. Partial sun for Wednesday, 42. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
B-5-O-Bum!
Come on, you guys. It's only a little.
Yeah. A hungry giant!
Hungry for a big honey taste.
Big taste. Honeycomb. Big taste.
Honeycomb taste. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not small.
No, no, no. Honeycomb's got a big honey.
X-Files.
All right, let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. The Gen X Files brought to you by Just Another Phoenix in Dartmouth. We'll start with celebrity birthdays. Robert Duvall, who starred in films such as The Godfather and Apocalypse Now, is celebrating his 95th birthday today. Blondie guitarist Chris Stein turned 76. Dynasty star Pamela Sue Martin, who also played Nancy Drew on television, is 73. Kate Schellenbach of 90s alt-rock group Luscious Jackson is 60. Dancing with the Stars judge Carrie Ann Inaba turns 58. Shock rocker Marilyn Manson and Boardwalk Empire star Shea Whigham both turn 57 today. Bradley Cooper, star of such films as The Hangover and A Star is Born, is 51. Mad Men actress January Jones turns 48. And DJ Deadmau5 celebrates his 45th birthday today. On this date in 1970, All My Children premiered on ABC. In 1973, on this date, 23-year-old Bruce Springsteen released his first album, Greetings from Asbury Park, New Jersey. And then on this same date, January 5th, 1 year later, 1974, Springsteen performed Rosalita for the first time at a concert at Joe's Place in Boston. The song became a live favorite that Bruce often plays for an encore. On January 5th, 1979, 20-year-old Prince played his first public show at Minneapolis's Capri Theater for what was sure to have been a lucky audience. While the artist had already signed a 3-album deal with Warner Brothers Records and released his debut, 1978's For You, he still had yet to take the stage. Also on this date in 1979, the double album soundtrack to the film Saturday Night Fever reached sales of 25 million worldwide, making it the best-selling LP in history at the time. Of course, the album also featured New Bedford's own Tavares. Also on this date in 1980, Rush released the album Permanent Waves. January 5th, 1980, Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Gang became the first rap song to hit the top 40 when it reached number 37 on the Billboard chart. In 1984, Apple aired its iconic 1984 Super Bowl commercial for the Macintosh computer. In 1991, Madonna's Justify My Love, a new song included on her compilation album The Immaculate Collection, went to number one in America, her 9th topper on the tally. The song, co-written by Lenny Kravitz, got a lot of attention thanks to its racy music video, which was banned by MTV and subsequently released on home video.
That's anybody's guess. Ain't no good reason for getting all depressed.
On this date in 1991, the sitcom Blossom debuted on NBC.
In my opinionation, the sun is gonna surely shine.
In 1996, From Dusk Till Dawn, which was George Clooney's breakthrough role, opened up in theaters. It was written by and co-starred the red-hot Quentin Tarantino and was directed by Robert Rodriguez. January 5th, 1998, Sonny Bono of Sonny and Cher died in a skiing accident in Nevada near South Lake Tahoe, California, at age 62. An advanced skier, he went off course to do some tree skiing when he crashed and died. His wife and 2 children were with him on the slopes but did not witness the accident.
Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga.
January 5th, 1998, in the Ally McBeal episode Cro-Magnon, a 30-something Ally was reminded of her ticking biological clock when she hallucinated a baby dancing to the tune of Blue Swedes' Hooked on a Feeling. By the end of the episode, Ally relents and grooves along with the tot. The dancing baby, which first hit the web in 1996, was one of the internet's first viral videos or memes, which were then known as web trends. In 2002, with the Pittsburgh Steelers down 24-7 in a playoff game against the Cleveland Browns, they play Renegade by Styx, which fired up the crowd and impelled them to a comeback win. The song became a regular feature then of Steelers home games, played in the second half whenever the team needs a boost.
to. Come on. Shawty got them apple bottom jeans.
January 5th, 2008, the number one hit in America was Flo Rida featuring T-Pain with Low. And in 2016, Guns N' Roses confirmed that Slash and Duff McKagan, who had not performed with the band since 1993, would join them for their headline set at Coachella. They later announced a full tour with Slash and McKagan. And in 2024, Royal Mail issued stamps for the Spice Girls' 30th anniversary. That's the Gen X Files for January 5th, 2026, brought to you by Just Another Phoenix in Dartmouth, where you can join the Just Another Star Club Rewards program, and where this week you can get some really great specials for helping you get back on track in the new year, including protein pancakes, the bodybuilder omelet, or if you want to get a little, if you want to continue treating yourself, how about a peanut butter banana French toast? It's all for you at Just Another Phoenix in Dartmouth. All right, I've got to take a break here. We are going to run behind if I don't. So let me get that in. 508-996-0500. We'll be back in a few moments.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health. Advanced medicine, more care.
As a veteran of the United States military, I can finally get the opportunity to enjoy special events, like a date with my wife, or going out together with my family and friends. Things that we couldn't afford, thanks to VetDix. Every empty seat at a concert, a game, motorsports, or a play is a missed opportunity to say thanks to a veteran and service member. We can help. We can give our veterans a special event where they too can create their own cherished memories. Find out how by visiting www.vettix.org. That's www.vettix.org. Find out how you can make a difference in a veteran's life.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Williams, and I want to share with you the role that diabetes has had in my family. I lost my grandmother at the early age of 64 due to complications with diabetes. She was warm, generous, and a constant encouragement for me to follow my heart. And did you know that African Americans experience chronic kidney disease at a rate that's 25% higher than white Americans? And we're almost four times more likely to develop kidney failure. Diabetes and high blood pressure are leading causes of kidney disease, which can result in kidney failure, needing dialysis or a kidney transplant. The good news is that you have the power to check out how well your kidneys are doing and learn ways to prevent them from failing. So go to your doctor and get yourself checked out. Visit linkbylovetv.org to learn more. Get the facts, get checked, and get healthy.
Waking up with the Tim Weisberg Show. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app.
That is going to make you sweat by CNC Music Factory, and nothing will make you sweat more than having septic issues with your septic system. But for over 50 years, Bass Ready Rooter has been the trusted name in drain cleaning and septic maintenance across New Bedford, Fall River, and Dartmouth. From emergency clogs to hydro jetting and camera inspections, their expert team delivers solutions the right way, with honesty and respect. That's why neighbors and plumbers alike recommend them with over 700 five-star Google reviews. Bass Ready Rooter. They always say they may not be your first call, but they'll always be your last. Make them your first call at 508-995-8012 or visit bassready.com, B-A-S-S-R-E-D-D-Y, bassready.com. All right, let's go to the phones, 508-996-0500. Good morning, you're on WBSM.
Well, the birthday boy. Well, did you have a party? Did you go out?
Nope. I stayed home and did nothing.
You was home by yourself?
The little cat was with me.
Well, you should have called a bunch of us callers. We all would have ran over there.
Nah, I don't really do much to celebrate my birthday. I had a nice little dinner for myself and watched some TV, watched the Patriots, so.
Well, that's very nice. I do that a lot of the times now. But you're still young. You got a lot of partying to do yet. So, I heard on the news and I saw on the internet that New Hampshire, on the end of this month, is not going to make you get stickers anymore. Why can't we do that?
I've been an advocate for that for a long time.
Oh, me too, because I hate it. Isn't excise tax enough? You know, I'm having major problems.
I'd get rid of that, too.
But anyway, and then I saw, too, I think it was BSM that put it out, on New Year's Eve, tow truck was going to give you a ride home?
Yeah, so they've been doing it now for quite a long time. So South Coast Towing on New Year's Eve, if you've had too much to drink, you call them. They'll tow your vehicle and give you a safe ride home.
Okay, this is what I have to say about that. So now everybody's going to take advantage because you know you're going to go out and party. You know you're going to have drinks because that's what you normally do. So why don't you just not bring your car?
Well, they're not going to give you a ride unless you have a vehicle from the tow, so...
Oh, so they can afford all the booze but they can't afford a cab home or Uber or something like that. That's taking advantage of the tow truck.
So, well, it's more designed for if you're out there and you party too much, you know, keep their number handy and you're like, hey, I don't think I should drive. And then you give them a call. But last year, Chris Medeiros told me that they actually had people that would call them in advance and say, hey, can you pick me up at 12:30 at this place? Like they were already making the plans. Yeah. And his whole thing is he just wants people to get home safely because he saw a very bad crash years ago, and that's what made him decide to start doing this.
Mm. A lot of accidents happen lately. Now, that woman that was coming out of the church at night like that with her kids right there, and they got the person. It's a young person. Is that what I understand?
A 16-year-old from Dartmouth, yeah.
Oh, my God. With a license, too?
Yeah, so they said that one of the charges was... violations of the junior operator's license, so they must have had one.
Oh, my, that poor woman. And lucky that her kids didn't get it, too. I was horrified when I heard that.
I mean, I've seen a lot of people, like, condemning this kid, but we don't know the circumstances of the crash. But the fact of the matter is the kid still fled the scene, which is, you know, not going to help your case any.
I know.
But it might the crash might not have been their fault either.
Well, what about this question, too? I know it's stupid to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Why are people coming out of churches at midnight? Come on.
Because
really?
they have a New Year's Eve mass. A lot of churches do it.
Oh, so that was the new... Oh, okay. That was the time it happened?
Yeah, so I don't know if this was a mass or if they just had like a gathering, like a get together, you know, like maybe they, because a lot of churches will do that. They'll have the party there so that people have a safe place to come and celebrate the New Year. So it could have been a party, it could have been a mass, but a lot of churches do a New Year's Eve mass.
But still at that hour for a 16-year-old, where was he going at that time? Why?
We don't have any of those details.
I know.
It could have been, you know, it could have been that their parent was out partying and called them up and said, hey, I can't drive home. Can you come pick me up?
Oh, that's shooting boy. That did it right there. They must feel guilty if that was the story. One last thing before we go. How's your tummy doing?
So far, so good. No issues. I'm still waiting for the call to find out when, but I kept it light and, you know, haven't eaten anything I shouldn't and haven't been drinking any alcohol and kept coffee to a very limited amount, so...
Well, at least you're sensible about it, because some people wouldn't give a damn. They just go on with what they do, you know what I mean? At least you're thinking about it, and you're trying to do something. That's wonderful, and maybe still this time. Maybe you don't even have to have it out, huh?
Oh, no, it's definitely coming out. I'm not going through that again.
Definitely, huh?
Yeah, I'd rather have it out than go through what I went through.
5 minutes, save you a big bill.
On the plus side, I lost 7 pounds, so there's that.
Oh, so you've been cutting back on food on purpose then.
Well, I have to eat a low-fat diet, so that's just going to naturally cut me back on things anyway.
Well, success with that, and keep us all up to date, and have a good week.
Thank you so much. Take care.
You're welcome. You too.
All right, I got another call here, but I'm not going to have time to take it. If you want to hang on, we can take you right at the start of the next hour before we get into things with Council President Burgo. But I am out of time for this hour. I've actually got to move these spots. Hold on. But we will have Council President Burgo joining us in the 8 o'clock hour. The final day we can call him that, because after today, after this evening, there'll be a new council president. We will have the meeting this evening to determine who is going to be the new council president. Odds on favorite is Ryan Pereira. And if that's the case, I've already reached out to him and invited him back. Haven't heard back from him, though. Councilor Pereira, answer your texts.